Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't want. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough. Remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it? Tell me once again.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome again to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Once again, we're looking into the book of Acts. If you've been following along, then you have your coffee cup with you. You've got your Bibles open. We're in Acts chapter 4. Get over to verse number 27. We just saw last week how God can use anyone. He uses Peter and John and mentions how God used David. He uses the king, but God can use anyone. Anybody, and God can speak through anyone. And sometimes that bothers the daylights out of the religious people because we like to believe God can only use us.
Yes.
But God uses amazing. He uses a small child. He uses anyone that he would like to. And in verse number 27, we'll pick it up, and it says, "Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. So what's happening is Peter and John now are speaking directly to these Pharisees and so forth, and he's actually giving them a historical lesson of what has happened, and that Herod and Pontius Pilate, they work with the Romans, and they try to conspire against Jesus, whom God anointed.
Yeah, this is an amazing prayer that they're praying, and they're seeking God's wisdom here and just, you know, remembering all that had happened, all that God had done, and just the testimony that Peter and John just brought about their escape from the Pharisees, because they know what just happened a few weeks prior.
Yeah, and they have this wonderful assurance that God, when he says something, he means it, and that he brings it to pass, because he says, they say in the next word, he says, these Pilate and Herod and the Gentiles and everyone who plotted against Jesus, it says, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. That's a prophetic word that they, whatever they did, God had already planned it ahead of time. So the interesting part about that is, for me, is that, well, you say, well, who's at fault? I mean, is it Herod? Is it the Romans? Is it Pilate? Who's at fault in this? And they're saying, well, God had a plan, and this is all part of his plan. And it's amazing to me how people don't even know that they're fulfilling the plan of God.
Yeah.
They think they're actually doing something that's going to be beneficial and to them, and it's really part of God's plan the whole time.
You know, God definitely is sovereign. He does control things, and he lives outside of space and time, so he can see everything and how it's all going to function and how man's heart is going to lead him to make decisions. And it's a great study to sit down and just kind of ponder this sentence right here, because like you said, Herod, Pilate, Gentiles, Jews, they all had their hand in the conspiracy against Jesus, and yet in their prayer, they say, you know what, God, you already had this planned out. The salvation of humanity was planned out, and you used Herod, Pilate, the Jews, and the Gentiles so that we could, in the person of Jesus and the work that he did, find salvation and rescue and healing and miracles and all that we've been talking about.
Now, you can dig yourself out of a depression today just thinking about the fact that all the bad things that have happened to you, all the struggles that you have faced in life, all the discouragement that you received, you can just take for a moment and say, well, God is working in these things, and somehow God's going to bring these around for good, just like he did for Christ when he rose from the dead. Yeah. So you can say, I'm going to believe God rather than believe everything that's happening. I'm going to believe God's in control of this, and I'm going to come out on the other side. I'm coming out with victory.
Sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge, but like you said, if you start thinking that way, and if you start looking at it that way,
with faith
and just say, hey, God, you know, enough, you know, I'm good, God. You don't need to shake me up anymore. I'm good. But even then, God, you're in control, and I'm going to trust in you. It can change your outlook, and it can change, you know, once again, your heart, your everything within you, and then your circumstances seem to change. Or just that different perspective can really help
you. Yeah, it can, because look at the next verse. In verse 29, he says, now, Lord, consider their threats. Because that's what they had done. They threatened them, said, don't you do this, don't you do anything more. Consider their threats. And now enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So right away, they changed their thinking. God, you're in control. You know all these things are going to happen. You've heard all about their threats. Now give me some kind of boldness that I can come up out of this. They're trying to intimidate me.
Yeah.
And so just help me to come up out of this with a boldness. I'm recognizing that everything is coming against me right now that they're trying to do. You had a hand in it. You knew it was going to happen, but give me the boldness to come overcome it. And that's powerful.
It is powerful, because just a few moments ago, we read that, you know, the Pharisees get together. They kick the guys out of the room. They talk amongst themselves. They said, listen, they've done this miracle. They've used the name of Jesus. to do this miracle, so their words are powerful. Let's tell them not to use the name of Jesus. They no more talking about right. this Jesus guy. And then in their prayer, they're, okay, God, here's their threats. Consider that. And then give us the ability to keep speaking, because that could be intimidating.
It could be intimidating.
And,
yes.
and in the world in which we are living, like you've been sharing, and we've been seeing in the news that, you know, they're taking down crosses. They're anything that has to do with Christ, Christianity, God is being targeted, and there's threats that are going out. We need to pray this prayer. Enable us to speak, not just with boldness, but with great boldness.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of people that feel very intimidated because of political correctness. Yeah. They're very intimidated by the fact that people say things against Christ. They don't want to be persecuted for anything. They don't say, oh, you're one of those goody two-shoes that go to church, aren't you, huh?
Yeah.
It's all intimidation.
Yeah.
And he says, no, let me stand, yep. Lord. Let me have this ability to speak your word. There's the key.
Yeah.
Not my word. Let me speak your word. Your word. Let me speak the words that you have given me. They're words of life. I don't want to speak death. Let me speak words of life. And let me do it with a great boldness. And then he says, stretch out your hand to heal and to perform miraculous signs and wonders. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't just say, let me just speak your word. If it's going to be your word, it's going to be creative. It's going to be miraculous. Yeah. It's going to accomplish miracles. Let me have that kind of thing. How about that? I like that.
I love that right there.
I
think
love
that's,
that.
That's awesome. And that's where the church needs to be.
That's because, where we need to be.
Because right now, we're speaking that word. And if we're not doing it with great boldness, then our mouths are being shut. And and we're not speaking that word. And listen, that word is going to be offensive. It's powerful. It's going to be offensive to certain people.
Yes.
You know, it's life to those who hear it and believe and are saved, but it is an offense to some. It is a stumbling block to other people.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can you tell me how to live or what's right and what's wrong? Because, you know, your right's not my right, your wrong's. And we've got all of this confusing stuff happening out there. And the word of God is very clear, very true. And if you take any time to think about it, you'll realize that this book we call the Bible has been around for centuries, and it is powerful, and there is truth in it. And when you hear that word, and it does this miraculous, these signs, these wonders in your life, man, the eyes are open and stuff just starts to happen.
Yeah, it's really amazing when you say, it says here that all these things that happen, they happen beforehand. The Lord knew that they were going to happen. So here's the thing. If God knows this stuff's going to happen, then he also knows that there are going to be miracles done in the name of Jesus. And there is a prophetic truth that's taking place here. God knows beforehand all that's coming your way, but he also knows that if you will stand with boldness and speak his word, then the miracles will follow. These healings, these miraculous signs and wonders are going to be done, not because of you, but because of the holy servant, Jesus Christ, whom you're standing for. That's just amazing.
It's phenomenal. And once again, these people that are praying this prayer, unschooled, they hadn't gone to the Harvards or the Yales of their day, or to the, you know, or to this school or that school. They didn't have all the pedigree, and, you know, ordinary guys, ordinary women, fishermen, you know, just merchants, stuff like that. And God started using them to perform miracles and healings and wonders, and they were just simple people saying, God, work through us, speak through us, touch through us, make a difference in the lives of hurting people. Guess what? There were hurting people back then, as there is today. Those of you that are listening today, maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you need a healing in your life, and you've tried for 40 years, like that one guy that sat at the gate 40 years looking for help and hope and just looking at his life saying, there is no hope for me. And then all of a sudden, somebody walks up to you and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed.
Yeah, be healed. Awesome. But again, here, the wonderful thing about this particular passage that we've looked at is the fact that the apostles, Peter and John, said this, and the people began to rejoice at this.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you can say good things that God's done, or even things that people are trying to do against you and say things, and people won't get behind you. They won't stand with you. Oh. Here, the church stands with them.
Right.
They're excited about what's going on. They say, hey, this is really great. Something really is exciting because, you know, this is, there are miracles that are going forth. That's what we want more of it. And after they prayed, it says in verse number 31, where they were meeting, the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So when they backed up the apostles, when they came behind them and supported them and said amen to the preacher, and they just were right behind them, there was a release of power. They prayed, and there was a place that some power was so powerful, it shook everything.
Yeah.
And people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they themselves spoke the word of God with boldness.
When the power of God comes like this, when there is this kind of prayer, when there is this kind of digging in, if you will, together, one heart, one mind, to accomplish that. You know, they had seen Jesus do miracles, but now that Peter and John had done this miracle, they realized that, hey, it wasn't just for Jesus.
Anybody.
And Jesus said, greater things shall you do.
Yes.
And so now they're catching on to that truth, and they're saying, well, if Peter and John could do it, and all they had to say was, you know, in the name of Jesus, God, here we are. We are empty vessels. Work through us.
Yeah.
And when they were all together, and they, like you said, they got in unity behind Peter and John, those that the Lord had appointed as apostles, great things started to happen. Yeah.
And they recognize that God used Jesus. Now, like you said, they're using John and they're using Peter. Well, they can use me too.
Exactly.
So, Lord, now let those miracles and signs flow through
flow
our
through,
lives to heal.
Through me. Yeah.
Throw through me. And then when they did that, the place was shaken.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to, you can go into the hospital and start healing everybody. It's a supernatural thing at the moment because Jesus had walked by this guy over and over and over again.
True.
And there were moments, like it says, God, you appointed these things to happen. There was a time and there's
Correct.
A place. There's a time and a place for every healing, for every miracle, for every sign, for every wonder. We can't make it happen.
Can't make it happen.
It's God. It's God working through us. We just need to be that empty vessel that God works through.
Yeah, and I think they clarified that back in verse number 25 when they said that you spoke these things through the Holy Spirit, through David's mouth. The Holy Spirit is the one who spoke it, so it comes from the Spirit. And like you mentioned, it says in verse 32, all the believers were in one heart and one mind.
Yeah.
No one claimed any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. This one heart and one mind is probably overlooked by most of us because we are taught at an early age to be an individual.
Yeah.
Even in our nation, we're taught to be individuals.
Yeah.
Build our own little kingdom, if you will. It's hard for us to come together and combine with one mind, one heart together to do something. It's not easy because it's just not something that we can do. It's I hate to say it, but there are some places that, and it's probably not a good illustration, but there's some places where people are better united than in America right now.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they're united together, and they have one mind and one heart, and they can accomplish far more than a divided nation.
Yeah.
And that's one of the challenges that we're facing in America.
It truly is.
Is a challenge of the dividing of the heart and the mind. And here, the believers were in one heart and one mind. And when that happens, God can do some amazing things.
It really, truly does. Now, humanity has this tendency to be independent, like you said. We try to be independent. And then the opposite of that, the ultimate extreme of that is codependency, where I can't do anything without you. And here, it's an interdependence. Everybody interdependently. I need you. You need me. We form the body of Christ, and we work together. We're in one heart, one mind, as in unison, because we're listening to the Holy Spirit and we're doing what He tells us to do.
And that's kind of like been modeled for us by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, because there are some things He cannot do. You know, we always say, well, nothing's impossible with God, but Jesus said that I can do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. So there are some things that he's not going to do it because the Father, there's no unity of heart and mind. Yeah. When there's a unity of heart and mind with the Father and the Son, then nothing's impossible.
Right, right.
Nothing is impossible. But that unity Trinity is so powerful. And I would love to see a church that is one heart, one mind. Yeah. Sometimes when you get a church going and it's a newer church and they're building a building and they're all together, yeah. they have one purpose. They're trying to get a church building built. They're trying yep. to start a church. There's a camaraderie yeah. there. They're all committed to the building yep. of the church. After the church is built, then, well, we argue about this. We argue about that. Well, we want this. We want that. We want yeah. something different. It's, you know, there's no unity in the yeah. heart, no unity in the mind, and it causes difficulties within right. the congregation. But right. when you realize that you have the heart of the Lord and you have the mind of the Lord on something and you can unite together on that, mm. then really there's nothing impossible.
Amen.
Once they're united.
What a beautiful place.
Yeah, that's a great place to be. And no yeah. one claimed any of his own possessions was his own. And so I like that too, because you're not claiming, this is not my thought, this right. is not my idea, this is not my things, this yeah. is not anything, this is God.
Yeah, it's all him.
When a congregation can say, this is God,
yeah.
it can go anywhere.
It can
do just about anything. So they shared everything together. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. That's what we need, is grace.
Yeah. The truth that Jesus rose from the dead,
yep.
the miracle that was there, and that they were continuing to preach that, and then grace, that unmerited favor of God, lavished on us. I like how Paul, because listen, we're a bunch of sinners, and we need a lot of grace. I don't know right. about you, but I'm talking about me.
True. And grace is an amazing thing. I mean, grace is... comes from a gift. It's a gift. Grace, yeah. when you think about grace, you just think about gifts, because God gives you grace. He gives yeah. you gifts. He gives you mercy, too. Mercy is right. that unmerited favor, but yeah. grace really is the gifts that he gives you. Yeah. And everybody has been given gifts, and it operates through the grace that God has given you.
Amen.
So here, when he says there's much grace was among them, that grace was being expressed in the gifts of the Spirit that yeah. they had received. The grace was operating. It was expressing itself in many different miracles, many ways, and preaching powerfully. And there was no needy person among them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that grace.
Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, and we could go on for hours here, but our time is up, and we want to wish you all the wonderful grace and mercy that you can receive in Jesus' name.